God bless you, dear friends. My name is Angela, and I am a missionary with Brother Joseph and his family here in Eastern Europe. I also translate his messages in different languages. I will now read to you a prophetic message by Brother Joseph, and may this be a blessing and inspiration to all of you. God bless you. We will talk about the persecuted believers in all the world and how Jesus is among them. Today, the best churches and the believers closest to the Father and to Jesus are those where persecution is. In the West, many churches are sadly going the way of the materialism, which in the Bible Jesus called it the Church of Laodicea, and we find it in Revelation 3, from 14 to 22. The persecuted church, in deserts, in mountains, in forests, everywhere, true believers forsake all. They put Jesus first, before their jobs, their families, and their children, before their selfish advantages and their security, and before their very lives. A true believer must learn from our pastor and chief, from Jesus, and from our basic doctrinal book, the Bible, if his religion is being more of a help or a hindrance in order to obey and follow and to be fruitful to the Lord. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Galatians 1, from 15 to 24. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God I do not lie. And they glorified God in me." We see how Paul here went to Jerusalem, which in those days was the world's Christianity headquarters. He went to see the church top leadership. And Paul was open to learn from anyone, and so should we. But he would first of all, and whenever he was in doubt, he would be loyal to get his directions from Jesus. We can and we should learn from all, but always double check with the only doctrinal book, the Bible, by the Holy Spirit. We must make sure that our religion is truly doing all for the glory of God, and that is not mixed with any exalting of some human pastor, hierarchy, doctrine or religion. Jesus must be the beginning and the end. If our religion does not begin and end with Jesus, that is not of God, but is contaminated by the devil. He has to be not only the Alpha, but also the Omega. So let us be watchful, remembering the warning in 2 Peter 2, from 1 to 19. "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, and bring on themselves swift destructions. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruptions. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage." Today there are many contradicting church doctrines, and the love of materialism has polluted many churches, especially in the West. Sadly, many church leaders count success not by the number of the lost that they reach, but by the people sitting down and by the finances that they collect. So beware of nice-sounding sermons that tickle our ears, like it says in 2 Timothy 4 from 1 to 3. The most pure church today are those Christians who have learned to love and obey the Lord despite imprisonments, persecutions, and even death, and without denying their precious faith. This is the church that the Lord Jesus called Philadelphia, virgins with oil, and the bride. We find it in Revelation 3 from 7 to 13, in Matthew 25 from 1 to 13, and in Revelation 19 from 7 to 9. And this is a church of all languages, is worldwide, is united in the love of Christ. This is His body. A church which boundary is heaven, and her only doctrine is the love of Christ, all confined in God's only authorized doctrinal book in the Bible, written by His very hand. And the leader of the church, Jesus Christ Himself. See Matthew 23 from 8 to 10, and actually see the rest of the chapter. This is a church with no sectarian, doctrinal, religious barbed wires, with no drawbridges. This is a church which address is not in any phone book, but those who truly seek with their whole heart will find its address, for God has not hidden it from them. The following are some of the addresses quoted already where only the true believers will find it, those true believers of John 6 from 64 to 66. They will find it here. Jeremiah Street, number 29, apartment 13. Matthew Street, number 7, apartment 7. And number 25, 4 and 10. Also Revelation Streets, number 3, from 7 to 13. And the same Revelation Street, 19, from 7 to 9. This is the church. And there is no other church worthy of such a name. No, not in the Bible. Any doubting, beloved sectarian or denominationalist disputer, please verify the scriptures. How to recognize this church? Its characteristics are given by our King Jesus and are so simple that even a child will know. John 13:35. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Acts 7:48. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says. John 4:20-24. You Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one should worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Please beware of false Christian worshippers. God does not want those worshippers who worship Him in a special denomination or a building or a religion. God seeks those who worship in spirit and in truth. Everywhere, anyway, with anyone who truly loves Him. For only this is the body of Christ, and the rest is man-made religion. This is the bright church. The church who fills her lamp with the oil of her faithfulness and of her works in Christ. This is she of whom the Spirit has said, John 10:27 and 28, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Revelations 19:7 and 8. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. for the linen is the righteous acts of the saints. At least 40 million Christians have been martyred in the 20th century. The Orthodox Church claims 50 million deaths in the same century. The Holy Spirit is certainly giving a signal to today's world's Christianity, and the message is clear. What Jesus warned us of has begun to happen. Matthew 24, verse 8 and 9. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. This has already begun to happen. Matthew 24, 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect. Matthew 24, verse 24. Most of the false Christs are today being preached from the very churches, with many churches preaching false denominational sectarian gospels, which is clearly not based on the true Bible gospel. Such is the prosperity gospel, which says God is rich and wants to bless us with riches. Oh yes, let's pray for the poor, let's pray for the persecuted and the lost, and God will bless us even more. Matthew 24, verse 13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. John 10, 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Today many churches are filled with theoretical believers, people that are saved as the Jews were when Jesus came to them, and it says that they knew him not. In John 1, from 10 to 11. Jesus and his word is again rejected by today's modern Israel, represented by most of world's Christianity. Matthew 24, 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. In the persecuted world, today's faithful believers are showing the gospel to the world by shedding their own blood. But sadly, in the rich world, the so-called Laodicea church only sings and preaches. This scripture in Matthew 24, 14 today is being fulfilled. By modern means of broadcasting, if nothing else by TV and radio, the gospel is reaching every continent, every nation and city, every desert and jungle of the planet. Next is Matthew 24, 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Verse 16, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor shall ever be. Verse 22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake those days will be shortened. Satan is doing his best to make sure the church does not prepare for the tribulation that is soon to surprise the whole world. False doctrines have been sown among those Christians who do not study and do not understand the Bible personally, and therefore they have to believe whatever some new USA Christian book or film is interpreting for them. Most false doctrines are aimed at contradicting what Jesus said in Matthew 24:29. And he said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, verse 30, then the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 31, and he will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Verse 29 said, immediately after those days of tribulation. There are very many hypotheses theorizing that rapture of the church is before the tribulation. These are very popular because most believers want to believe them. As usual, people will choose what to believe, as it was prophesied for the end time. 2 Timothy 3, from 1 to 5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, unholy, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's the image of Laodicea. Many sermons, no fruits or souls saved. 2 Timothy 4, from 1 to 5. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, to false doctrines. Verse 5, but you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Just like most students believe in evolution, just because this is what they are taught by their teachers, so most Christians accept whatever doctrines they are being taught, simply because this is what their teachers are preaching to them. So today we have thousands of Christian religions, each believing a different gospel, simply because that is the particular gospel being taught in that religious building. This is why many different doctrines on the rapture are being believed and spread. The solution? The solution is easy and simple. The solution is Jesus. It's His Word. Study the Word. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Let's find someone who will teach us the Word, not just another theology. Not just read some opinion from someone's book, but some true man of God, one who is not just trying to keep us in his religion, but one who will teach us to understand the words of Christ, not of man, not of another religion, not my doctrine, not yours, but only the Bible. Find this man of God. They are rare, they are like jewels, but if you seek them in Jesus' name, you will find. Allow me to continue with the scripture. Why would Satan be so interested to spread the lie of the pre-tribulation rapture? Well, simply because, as Jesus warned us in Matthew 24, verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Verse 19, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Verses 20 to 22. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. The world has already gone through many tribulations, recently from the communists. The communists, in the beginning, they promised a future heaven. And the people believed the promises and followed. But the results were Stalin's concentration camps, the gulags, the forced labor camps, called re-education programs. But the so-called re-education was not for all the prisoners. History books tell us that between 30-40 million Russian compatriots were exterminated for not accepting communism. What are the reasons why the devil is spreading his pre-tribulation rapture lies? The reason why he is spreading these false doctrines is that he wants to surprise the Christians like he did in the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, or in the Chinese Revolution, or against the Jews, the Nazi Holocaust, and by the same trick in many other places. If the Christians would be united, if they would listen to Jesus and the Bible, instead of the many false prophets and the religious, sectarian, denominational teachers of today, in no way the devil could make any of the progress he is making. But Satan, through the smart trick of the Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, Evangelical, through the sectarization of the church, has so divided it that the church is now taking over Satan's dirty job of fighting and accusing Christianity. Revelation 12:10. Satan, the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Satan is now puppeteering many Christian religions and their preachers, so that instead of fighting against him, against Satan, they prefer to mostly fight against each other. A smart devil? No, stupid, pride, selfish, short-sighted religionism. Is it we that are so stupid because we don't go to the Lord to fill up on wisdom? Like it says in James 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Proverbs 2 from 3 to 6. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, and if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. If we would do this, then we would blow away and wipe out the devil and his deceived followers in a flash. Will the church wake up? No. As the Lord foretold us, most of the church, most particularly the sleepy church of the West, will not wake up. Because it's too addicted to the devil's seductions, to the comfortableness in the Babylonic materialism of this world, and sadly, is too much used in obeying the world and disobeying the Lord. God warned the church, Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. That part of the church that is passive, which includes millions of Christians, mostly in our rich, selfish West, that part of the church is like Lot and his wife in Sodom. Only this time, God will not send millions of angels to pull them out by the hand, as he did with Lot. Because now the angel is the word of God. And the prophetic word clearly indicates that the worldwide church will not listen, but will prefer instead to believe its false prophets. A worldwide destruction is prophesied against the whole world church, as we can sadly read it in Daniel 11 from 31 to 35. And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices, and place there the abomination of desolation. Remember, Jesus said this is the signal of the beginning of the Great Tribulation, as it's written in Matthew 24, from 15 to 21. Daniel 11, verse 32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. These ones will not be destroyed, for they know their God. These are clearly the wise virgins, who Jesus knows. like it says in Matthew 25 from 1 to 13 and John 17 verse 3. This is the bride of Christ from Revelation 19 verses 7 to 9, and they are protected for the whole 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. That we find in Revelation 13 verse 5. The bride will be protected in a special place in a spiritual wilderness, Revelation 12, 6 and 14. These are those who will know what to do, and they will know where God has prepared a place of refuge for the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. They will know, because Jesus said, John 10, 27 and 28, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Are we learning to hear His voice and to obey and follow it now? If we don't learn to hear His voice now that is easy, then we certainly won't know when the time will come to be more difficult. Daniel 11:33. "And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and plundering." This is the Great Tribulation, the 3.5 years of the Tribulation, which we find also in Revelation 12, verses 6 and 14. Daniel 11:34. "Now when they fall, they shall receive little help, but many shall join with them by intrigue." Beware even now of false brethren who will betray you. See Galatians 2, verse 4, and Matthew 24, verses 10 and 11. Daniel 11, verse 35. "And some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, to purify them, and to make them white, until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time." Some are saying that because God loves us, He will not allow us to go through the Great Tribulation. This is clearly an unscriptural opinion, because these scriptures in Daniel 11 and many others show just the opposite. Exactly because God loves us, He will purge and purify us. Like it says in 1 Peter 1, verse 7, 1 Peter 4, verses 12 to 14, and verses 17 to 18. Like it says in Revelation 2, verse 2 and 10 and 23. Like it says in Revelation 3, verses 10 and 19. Like it says in Matthew 3, verses 8 to 12. And there are many others. But many will quote Revelation 3:10, which says, "I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world." People take this half a scripture and interpret it to mean that all Christians will avoid tribulation. I, for one, I would love that it was so. It would be wonderful. But, as much as some are not going to like this, it is not so. Why? Because first of all, this passage is not talking directly to the end-time tribulation, nor is it talking about a rapture. One would have to interpret in such a way, and it's clearly out of the context. Next, this promise is only a little fragment, is taken out of context, and is not taking into consideration the message of the whole passage in its entirety. Last but not the least, unlike salvation, this promise is not unconditional. It's not just by grace and no works at all. To the contrary, it is both conditional and by works. If we just carefully study the message of the whole passage, we see the difference. Let's read it. Revelation 3, from 8 to 10. "I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength, you have kept my word, and have not denied my name." Jesus didn't have to open the door. It was not guaranteed. He opens it because they kept His word and they did not deny His name. We read verse 10. "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." Again, very plainly we see, because they have kept his command, Jesus also will keep them from the trial or from the tribulation. As we see, it is conditional, and we need to do our part, first of all, to keep his word, to obey him. This is, in fact, the way God works. Except for the free gift of salvation, we have to deserve his blessing and protection, and even be tested before we receive them. This pattern we have seen also in the above-quoted scriptures. If this promise is supposed to be for all the Christians, then why in the Bible was only addressed to the one church, the faithful church of Philadelphia, and not to the rest of the churches, the other six, of Revelations chapters 2 and 3? Christ's protection in the coming tribulation is not for all. Not if we are disobedient. Not if we do not prepare in the Spirit to follow the Lamb wherever he goes, first of all to reach the lost souls. We can clearly see this, for example, in the totally different message that Jesus gives to the other churches, such as the last church of Revelation, the one that incidentally represents the disobedient church of the end time, that of today, Laodicea. Revelation 3, from 14 to 22. And to the church of Laodicea write, I know your works. Please pay attention. Except for salvation, the Lord blesses or judges us according to what are our works in Christ. Beware of today's false doctrines that we are under grace, and therefore it doesn't matter whether we obey his commandments or we don't. See also Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, and Revelations 22, verse 12. The Lord says to Laodicea, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were hot or cold. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed. That the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. This is like the oil of the bride virgins from Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. It is also our righteous works in Christ from Revelation 19, verse 8. Jesus is saying to Laodicea to sell, to forsake her world and her love for the worldly things and the false riches, and buy his gold, that is, to sacrifice all to do his will. As it is written in Philippians 1, verse 29, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. It's not enough that we get saved. We cannot accept the Calvary of salvation and then just forget about the Lord's will, because then we will resurrect unto shame, like it says in Daniel 12, verses 2 and 3, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness, in other words, reaching the lost, they will shine like the stars forever and ever. We continue reading the message to Laodicea, Revelation 3, verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. A great number of us are today in the same predicament of the disastrous Laodicea vomiting church, the church of the end time. And the Lord is calling those of us in need of repentance to change, to turn to him, to start to obey the small voice in our heart that leads us to him and to obey his will. He will then forgive and restore us, as he tells us at the end of the message. To this church, one of the worst of all, Jesus gives in fact one of the most incredible, shocking promises of the whole Bible, to sit on his throne, something which is totally beyond my comprehension. Let's read it in Revelation 3, verses 20 to 22. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's take our eyes off Satan's sirens and all that he has to offer us from today's tree of knowledge. Let's just rebuke him back to hell and all his old, stinky, worn-out tricks and traps and temptations and hell after. And let's follow Jesus and his love and his freedom and truth and salvation and his joy and peace and eternal heaven. Amen. Aren't we tired of all his sugary, shiny, false, tricky garbage that the devil has to offer? So let's go to Jesus. Let's here and now, like Moses and Abraham, stop right here in this holy ground and spiritually take off our shoes and build right here an honest altar to our Christ and our God. A spiritual altar of dedicating ourselves to him while we still have life, while we still can. For the night comes in which no man can work. I'm talking to those among us who have not yet dedicated their heart to Jesus. Not 30, 60 or 90%, but 100%. For if we leave a little 1% to the devil, that will be enough for him to sink us eventually. Amen? It says in Joshua 24:15, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let us beware of not serving the gods of the people of the land where we dwell now. Beware of the gods of atheism, of agnosticism, of materialism, of politics, of sports. The modern gods that cast their spell through TV, through media, and all the deceits of modern society. Beware! The Antichrist is coming, and we will need all we have got to follow Jesus and to overcome him by the Holy Spirit. In this obedience, Jesus will be able to protect us and lead us in the way we will need to go. And this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.